seat on the way in. Beginning on page 3, with confession and absolution, Father, sharing the peace and the procession of giving. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for the confession. came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Grant that Christ, the bread of life, may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated in the reading of our lessons from God's holy word.
This was from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on a new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
to the last words of the, or the first words of the gospel, right? Yeah, I know you picked right up. Those were the same as the last words of the gospel last week. The pastor read them. We just continued right on. You guys, did you come back hungry? Are you hungry? Good. God's word feeds us the bread of life. But, no, okay, I got a story. You guys ever get angry? Angry with me right now? That's good. You get angry at home? You know what happens when you get angry, Tyler? What do you do? You fight? Oh, that's sad. Do you forgive him? Does he forgive you? Yeah. What else? Maybe we say mean things, things we shouldn't do, right? But we get angry. Maybe we throw something. We never do that, do we? Because we get angry? I have. Terrible, right? Well, there was a little boy who used to get angry so often, so his father gave him a bag of nails and a hammer and said, listen, Johnny, when you get angry, go out to the fence and just start pounding nails when you're angry. And this is what the fence looked like the first few weeks that Johnny was out. Do you think he got angry? Yeah, but he was pounding nails. Right? And then a few weeks later, he was still pounding nails, but it was some time and, oh, just a few, right? He's doing better. And then pretty soon, he told his dad, it's got to be like a month. I haven't pounded any nails then. Just deep breathing deep. I'm praying with God. Those are good things, right? Calm down. And so his dad said, well, now I want you to go out there every time you get angry and you relax, you go out and you start pulling those nails out, right? Until they're all gone. And so eventually got them all out, and it would look like that, right? The nails were still there. He got angry, he put the nails in, he wasn't hurting anybody, but the scars are still there in the wound, right? You guys have any scars? You know what a scar is? Stays with you, right? A scar stays with you. So when we get angry and we hurt people, hopefully we apologize and we ask for forgiveness and they forgive us and we forgive them. But the scars are sometimes still there, right? We don't want to do that. And that's what Paul's words to the Hamiltonian, to the Ephesians says. He says, be angry. You're going to get angry, he said, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down. Don't let the day end in your anger. Apologize and ask for forgiveness. Don't give a chance to the devil to get in there and make us feel bad, make us say hurtful, let us say hurtful things when the devil gets in there, right? And scars are bad, but we can try to be good. There were scars in someone else, too. Who else had? Who had scars up on wood but that? Jesus. Yeah. It's his scars that matter that went through his hands and feet into that wood. Because he died on the cross. God died for all of us on the cross. So that when we do sin, we can go to God and ask for forgiveness. He forgives us, and one day we will all be in heaven together with him. So, say a prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you and lead us with your Holy Spirit. Keep us in forgiveness with you, with others. Help us forgive others.
Help us forgive others.
And share your love.
Amen.
All right. I have a cross for you. You guys can color these crosses and make them ever so beautiful. Maybe you can make a necklace out of them if you want. But have a cross and have a great week.
We continue with the sermon hymn, O God, O Lord of Heaven and Earth, on page 8.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In William Shakespeare's play, Julius Caesar, Caesar remarks concerning a senator in general, "Yon Cassius has a lean and hungry look. He thinks too much. Such men are dangerous." Cassius is ambitious and hungry for power. He is indeed leading a plot to assassinate Caesar on the Ides of March. So much of our society is built on you staying hungry, always wanting more, more, more. More stuff, more experiences, more power. There's a pressure to be successful, to continually keep moving up the ladder of achievement to ever higher and higher heights. This has practical effects. The birth rate in America is dropping because folks are putting off having children until they get their careers on track and their finances in order. And birth rates are the lowest in areas with strong job markets. Financial achievement becomes so very important that nothing else can get in the way. The goal of life becomes the accumulation of more and more and better stuff. There's a hunger and thirst to have more and to do more and to always try to satisfy that hunger that gnaws at you from within. And this is a powerful force pushing you to accumulate and experience more and more and to never be content with what you have. Many churches have bought into this force of life. They preach a message of health and wealth, a gospel of prosperity. They teach you that if you are faithful enough, God will bless you with financial success. The American dream becomes the good news. The message is not about forgiveness of sins through Jesus, but about getting more money. I mean, after all, who really wants to hear that they're a sinner? People want to be successful. But this whole approach to spirituality is spiritually bankrupt because the hunger and thirst for more and more is not from God. A few years ago, the expression YOLO became fairly popular. YOLO, you only live once. YOLO became an excuse for doing just about anything. Should I buy that car or that house or that phone or those clothes that I can't afford? Well, YOLO. Should I hook up with that cute person who's flirting with me? YOLO. Should I see how fast my car will drive on the highway? YOLO. You only live once. Death is coming for you. You can't wait. You don't know how much time you have. As the band Kansas once sang, "All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind." Dust in the wind. Martin Fronsman says this another way in our sermon hymn today. He says, "Life is an aimless mote, a deathward drift from futile birth." As popular as the saying YOLO became, YOLO is wrong. You do not only live once. Life is not just dust in the wind. It is not an aimless mote, a deathward drift from futile birth. God's word means life triumphant is hurled in splendor through the broken world. This life is not all that there is for you because you have Jesus who is the bread of life. The world hates contentment. It wants you to hunger and thirst for things, for experiences, for power. The world wants you discontent. So you'll buy whatever new shiny thing they want to sell you. so that you will seek power despite the consequences to others. So you will chase after every fleeting pleasure the world offers for fear of missing out on something. Instead of YOLO, now a more popular phrase is FOMO, fear of missing out. It's driven especially by social media. Oh, look what they're doing. I'm not there. I got to do that. FOMO is also used as an excuse to hunger and thirst and chase after the things of the world. The world hates contentment. And yet that is exactly what Jesus offers. St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Jesus brings contentment. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." In Christ, you have eternal life. You believe in Jesus. You have been baptized into Christ. You have the bread of life. On the last day, Jesus will raise you from the dead. Your body will be raised up imperishable. As you hear on Ash Wednesday, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. When you die, your body is returned to the earth, but it will not remain there forever. Just as Jesus created Adam out of the dust of the earth, Jesus will raise up your body from the dust. Your remains will be raised imperishable and will be reunited with your spirit to live forever in the heavenly city of New Jerusalem. As a baptized believer in Jesus, you are right now in the kingdom of heaven. You have eternal life. When you die, your body's buried in the ground. Your spirit goes to be with the Lord, to wait for the last day when your body will be raised from the dead and clothed in the white robe of Jesus' righteousness. The saints will go marching in to the heavenly city, and you will be in that number. Too often, I fear, we are led to believe that the goal of the Christian life is to die and go to heaven. But that's getting ahead of itself. When a Christian dies, their body rests in peace. Their spirit is with the Lord. But this is not the end. Jesus is not yet returned. Death still has mastery in the world. Evil still exists. The body's still in the grave. But it will not stay there. The best is yet to come. Three times in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus says he will raise you up on the last day. So YOLO is untrue. You don't only live once. You will be raised from the dead. You only live forever. FOMO is also misguided. What people should fear of missing out on is going to be with the saints in heaven on the last day. They should fear missing out on eternity with the Lord rather than being with the devil and his angels in the lake of fire. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus comes to our hall of death and breathes our poisoned air and drinks the world's dark, strangling despair. Jesus is laid in a grave after being crucified, and it looks like death and despair has won, but Jesus rises from the dead. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus gives his own flesh into death on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. He rises from the dead as the first fruits from the grave. He gives you his very body and blood to eat and to drink in his holy supper. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus gives you the bread of life, and you have eternal life in him. Jesus will raise you from the dead on the last day. So this life is not all that there is. You have eternal life. Your body will be raised from the dead as you confess in the creeds, "I believe in the resurrection of the dead." You only live forever. You do not need to hunger and thirst for every new thing that the world tries to sell you or get you to chase after. You are freed from the love of money, which is the root of all kinds of evil. In Christ, you are content with the life that God has given you. In Christ, you use money and you love people, not the other way around. In Christ, you are content. Enjoy the life that you have. As Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, "Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot." You have the bread of life. You have eternal life. Rejoice and do what you have been given to do. Work hard as a student or a worker, but not so hard that you neglect your other vocations in life as child, parent, grandparent, friend, brother or sister in Christ. Know that you have been redeemed by Jesus. You have the bread of life. You will be raised from the dead on the last day. And remember to enjoy the life that you have, because you only live forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Our prayers today remember Rebecca Crawford, who has cancer, Jeff Snell, Alan Molina's son, who's in home hospice care, for Mandy Allen, who remains hospitalized with COVID, for David Heine, Ann Bulwark's father, who's been hospitalized, for Alice Shaw, having surgery tomorrow, for Johnny Cross, a friend of Cell Myers, hospitalized with liver problems, for Sean Isaac, a friend of Cell Myers, who's having multiple surgeries and is awaiting treatment for cancer, for Walt Seward, a friend of Dolores Bowman's, who fell and broke his hip. And for Jeff Poole's family, Jeff died on Friday. He was a former DCD here in Princeton. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the pure proclamation of the gospel throughout all the world, that false teaching and Satan's lies would be thwarted, and that many would be drawn to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation and all congregations in our circuit, district, and synod, that they may flourish in pride, be strong witnesses to their confession of faith, show mercy on account of God, and live together in unity of doctrine and love for neighbor. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors, especially those suffering from conflict, burnout, and oppression, that our Lord would give them strength and courage through the example of Elijah and all who have gone before them. Bring them comfort through the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families and homes, that one generation may tell to the next the wonderful works of God in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nation, that all may live in harmony, neither suffering from want nor fearing from danger. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, including Becky, Jeff, Manny, David, Alice, Johnny, Sean, and Walt, that they would never doubt that God hears their prayers, and for all others who suffer from any kind of hardship, that the Lord would relieve their pain and provide for them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, especially Jeff's family, that they would be comforted by Jesus' words that he is the bread of life, and anyone who eats of this bread will live forever. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who receive Christ's body and blood this day, that reconciled to each other, they may rejoice to receive the Lord's forgiveness through this precious gift, be strengthened in times of doubt, and be nourished in body and soul. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Father, our risen, ascended, and glorified Lord, who has promised that those who believe in Christ as the true and living bread will never hunger or thirst. By your Holy Spirit, keep us steadfast in faith. Give us grace to live out our baptismal lives in repentance and forgiveness, and keep our eyes ever focused on the life that never ends, knowing that you will raise us up on the last day through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to the Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray, in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Same way also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome to the Lord's table.
Give you peace.